ओम ज्ञानतिमरंजस्या गणांजनाशाखया चाक्षुरुन्मीलितुम्येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. Back in 1977, when Srila Prabhupada left this world, it was actually a quite, I think, the biggest shock in my whole life, even to date. And when I was, just before I got initiated, I went to visit my parents, and they were not in support of my being involved in Krishna consciousness. So when I told them I was being initiated, they said, "Well, what does this mean?" I said, "Well, it means I'm going to follow Srila Prabhupada for the rest of my life." And they were shocked how a 25-year-old boy could say something like that and have that kind of commitment after just a few months associating with devotees. So when you left Srila Prabhupada in 1977, you remember that I wanted to offer you something. I felt it was very important. And when I joined the movement, I was working full-time job as a computer programmer, which you seem to approve of because you committed a comment, he's a responsible officer. So my commitment was, my offering, that I took the 2 weeks vacation I had and I spent it on the Christmas marathon distributing books, 1977. But I had no experience in doing this, and it was a bit of a challenge, but that was my offering. So I always been inspired by seeing the preaching reports, the book distribution reports, knowing that these are very dear to Srila Prabhupada, very important. So now I'm involved trying to do outreach programs in different parts of North Florida. In particular, I've been involved with devotees in Tampa. And Srila Prabhupada, for this month of Kartik, we've been trying to make a special offering of doing as many Damodar programs, preaching programs as possible. So far this month, we've been able to have 16 programs. And we thank you for your kindness to allow us to do this offering to you, assisted by the wonderful devotees in the congregation. Some of them have been at the university there of South Florida, where my wife and I go, and you know, it is only by her help, by her assistance and dedication, I'm able to do this kind of preaching because she is also completely dedicated. She does all the cooking, she keeps us going, and she helps at the programs, getting everything coordinated and seeing that everybody gets prasadam, keep in contact, gets books. So when we just some information, and we also, my wife and I also did one program in Jacksonville for that congregation there because they've been wanting something for some time, 2 weeks ago. So when we, particularly I'm involved with the program and the university there, South Florida, which has over 35,000 students. And there are some wonderful experiences I unexpected, because I feel like I'm just a pawn, that you are moving me here to connect people with Krishna. It's not my capacity, it's not my expertise in any way. I know we are involved with other Christian ministers that are there. We have joined some group with them just to get some recognition by the university. And I had to go to some events with them preaching, and they're very dynamic. They're out there, they're calling people over. "Hey, come on over here and look at this. You know, come over to our programs." And I just sit behind the table waiting for somebody to walk up and make an inquiry. It's just not me to go run around and do that. But the difference is, when they call them over, what do they offer them? "Come over to our event. Tonight we're going to be playing Frisbee in the dark." So that's the Christian offering, to engage the students in spirituality. So we've been doing Damodar program twice a week at the university and in the students' homes. And last week, one of the students, we had a home program, and one of the students, I've only seen her once before. Somebody said, oh, some of the other people can sing some song about Krishna. So this girl raised her hand, can I sing something? I was like a little concerned. I didn't know what she would sing because I hadn't seen her hardly before. And then she started singing Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantras very beautifully, very wonderfully. And everybody was quite astonished and pleased. And it's people like this we are helping connect, because she in her youth had had some contact with a Krishna kids camp and learned this. And now here she's in America trying to go to school, and she has this opportunity, and so she was very pleased. She came again yesterday, on Saturday, to the Govardhan Puja and asked if she could sing again, and she just said, I want to come and sing every week now. Mm-hmm. Another girl, she is coming, and she heard our kirtan concert last year, last fall, with Leelananda Prabhu, and she started coming regularly, and she told me, now I want to chant four rounds a day. I want to start. And she's been chanting now for a number of months, four rounds a day, and very enthusiastic, helping us meet more and more students. One girl, she said she's from India, and she called her parents, and she was telling her parents about the program. And she said, oh, there's this old white man. He comes and tells us about Krishna. And he's so wonderful. And her parents were completely shocked. Yeah, some foolish old white man trying to tell him. But one very especially amazing incident was there's a young American girl. She's coming. She knew nothing. She heard about some yoga we were doing. And after attending a few meetings, she was also, we lecture and we chant. And she was saying, I don't understand this very much, but I want to learn more. So I felt like some connection is being made. So the devotees there in Tampa, the congregation is doing so much to help with the preaching. They're organizing. They have at least two Damodar programs every week this month. They've had six or seven. They're going to finish out this month, this week. We're going up there on Thursday night to the last four programs. And they even go and Sankirtan, distributing books every week, and they go out there and they ask the people to come up and offer a ghee lamp to Damodar, and they had 50 people come every week and do this offering. So somehow they're all connecting to you, Srila Prabhupada, through this Damodar program and through their preaching, and we, although I'm insignificant and most unqualified, even they tolerate my chanting, which is, wow, it's very difficult to listen to, even for me. But they do, and they get some inspiration in Krishna, so I feel you're somehow just engaging us as your servant to help reach out to those people who are actually very enthusiastic to take up this process. Thank you very much.
Followed by Vaishnava Nanda Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So I was in Mayapur several years ago, and Jamuna Devi was there. And at the end of her stay, she was convinced to have a darshan with the devotees. She'd been keeping to herself a lot, just a small group of devotees around her. And she shared a story that just expressed to me how she lived her life in the presence of Srila Prabhupada, like every minute. And that's just like so inspiring to know somebody who was able to accomplish that. It's like, for me, it's like a goal to reach. So I just want to start off by saying that that was established here in this temple, that every morning when we greet the deities, that we have the opportunity to visualize that Srila Prabhupada is here with us. And we, as we do the three obeisances in front of each altar, that Prabhupada is there with us. And I don't know if everybody knows that, you know, even the ladies can stand on the men's side, what we call the men's side, and the men are invited to be in the front and the women in the back. So it just doesn't happen like that every morning. A little bit, but so I'm inviting everybody to fully participate in that program and feel Prabhupada's presence. He's leading us as we greet the deities. Okay, I hope that wasn't too political, but I tend to be political. But I like to share remembrances of Prabhupada because I'm just so, feel so fortunate to have had that opportunity. So I'm remembering, I don't even remember what year this was, but Shalavati Prabhu, Mother Shalavati, we called her because she was older than everybody else. She was the head pujari in New York. And we had this plan among, we had a meeting, you know, spontaneous meeting among the ladies who were going on the altar every morning, that when Prabhupada was there at the time and when he was going to leave and go to the airport, that we had this plan that a couple of the girls who were dressed in Gorni Thai were Sankirtan devotees and they had a car. And we also knew the airport. And Kennedy Airport is still huge, but at that time, each airline had their own building. And Prabhupada was leaving from Pan Am, and they're saying, we know the back entrance to the Pan Am building. So we were going to greet Prabhupada as he came into the Pan Am building by getting there first and going in the back door and then coming through the airport and, you know, meet him as he arrived. And we wanted to sprinkle flowers at his feet. So this was the plan. In order to pull this off, we had to forego, like, seeing Prabhupada leave the temple. Like, all the devotees would gather as he left, but we would have to be in the car in order to pull this off, in order to be right behind Prabhupada's car to start with. And So the two Sankirtan devotees were Sikandini and Bhumi. And so they got the car, and Shalavati and I, you know, were at the car. And then this girl named Bhakti Miriam, who later became Dhriti, the artist, she's just a new devotee. Somebody had asked her to hold a bag, a plastic bag. And so when we invited her to come, we said, there's room in the car. She goes, well, I got this bag. Bring it with you. Just get in the car with us, you know. So our plan, the beginning of the plan worked, that as soon as Prabhupada came out of the building and got into his car, our car was right behind him, whereas everybody else had to go after they saw Prabhupada off, then they had to go to their cars. So they were way behind. But we were right there behind Prabhupada. And as we're driving, someone said to Bhakti Miriam, so what's in the bag? She goes, I don't know. She opens up the bag. It was all flower petals. Big garbage bag full of flower petals. So we had a few, but, you know, now we had a lot. So we were happy, you know, we had all these flower petals. So we're driving along down the BQE, and we're going, you know, to Kennedy Airport, and we said, you know, at some point we're going to have to get ahead of Prabhupada's car to be able to get to the airport first. And we're like, well, that's not really right because we're supposed to follow the spiritual master. But we had to do it. You know, this was the plan. So as we're driving by the Prabhupada's car, we're all, I don't remember if we were, you know, had the windows open. I don't remember any of those kind of details. I just remember saying the prayers, pranam prayers. I mean, Prabhupada, who knows what that looked like? A bunch of women, you know, hanging out the car. But we got ahead. We got ahead of Prabhupada's car, and they stayed right behind us. They, you know, as fast as we went, Prabhupada's car was right behind us. So we're going up through all these back roads in the airport. They're right behind us. We get to the back door of this huge Pan Am building, and we all jump out except for the driver, and we pay our base and says, Prabhupada's getting out of the car. And, you know, we kept on grabbing big handfuls of flowers from this big bag. And because we were at the back door, Prabhupada had to walk through the whole airport. And there was a room that, you know, VIP room that he was scheduled to speak in. So he's the whole way, and we were in ecstasy. I mean, we're walking backwards, throwing flowers at Prabhupada's feet. Just, you know, a few inches from Srila Prabhupada. We were just so happy. And we finally get to this room, VIP room. Prabhupada sat down. Slowly, very slowly, devotees started arriving. Because like I said, they were behind, got caught up in traffic and like that. So it was a very small group at first, but gradually grew. And then Prabhupada noticed there was a commotion at the back of the room. And he asked, what's going on? And the devotee said, well, there's a man here from the airport. And he's all upset that we made a mess on the floor. That there's flowers all over the airport floor. And so Prabhupada addressed him and he said, you do not like flowers? And then he turned to the devotees and he said, people can throw cigarette butts all over the floor, but flowers they do not like. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
So Vaishnava Nanda Puri, followed by Mother Ananda Manjari.
Thank you, Anjali. So, Hare Krishna. I'd just like to say that the devotees are all very expressing their sentiment and their remembrance of Srila Prabhupada. And we all have unique experiences. As Mother Mukhya was explaining, sometimes devotees will write books, you know, biographical essays regarding Srila Prabhupada. So I made a similar statement. I wrote something here. But my address to Prabhupada is entitled, We Miss You, Srila Prabhupada. We miss you, Srila Prabhupada. It is nearly 40 years since we have left you. You have left our mortal vision. We miss you tremendously, Srila Prabhupada. Words cannot express the anguish caused by your physical absence. But it is only our impurities which obfuscate the vision to clearly perceive you. For you are always present with us in your instructions. To accept and follow your divine instructions is the elixir prescribed by you that will cure our ignorance born of illusion. Om Agyana Timirandatsya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militang Yena Tasmai Sri Gulaveda. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. We miss you, Srila Prabhupada. When you are physically present, all your sincere disciples relentlessly follow your every instruction. You empowered us to enthusiastically assist you in spreading the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and fulfill the order given to you by your spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We miss you, Srila Prabhupada. Oh, how we yearn to be with you, Srila Prabhupada, and personally serve you as we did before. Of course, our service to you is not impeded by time and space, and it is beyond the purview of our limited material senses. We miss you, Srila Prabhupada. You inculcated the camaraderie and collective energy in all your disciples, which catapulted, quote-unquote, the Hare Krishna explosion all over the world and made the phrase Hare Krishna a household word in America. You stated that the ideal and most favorable venue to disseminate and establish Krishna consciousness is in America, for the entire world will follow in her footsteps. Priti viti ache yata nagaradi gram sarvata pachara haibe moranam. In every town and village, the chanting of my name will be heard. We miss you, Srila Prabhupada. I recall your notable visit in February of 1975 to the Atlanta Temple, which you jointly christened New Panihati Dham. Upon your arrival, you went into transcendental ecstasy while glorifying their lordships, Sri Sri Gaunitai, and you said, and this is a lecture that everyone can hear, it's in prabhupadvani.org, Prabhupada, you can hear it, quote, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very kind, Parama Karuna Bahundi Jana, two lords, Nitya Gaura Chandra, Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're very kind. You see, they have appeared just to reclaim the fallen souls of this age. So they're more kind than Krishna. Krishna, he is also very kind. He comes to deliver. But Krishna demands that first of all, you surrender. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even does not demand surrender. He is so kind. This is from Prabhupada. Devotees who were present from Atlanta, the Prabhupada went into his, his ecstatic mood. His voice was choking. So take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be happy. Thank you very much. Prabhupada spoke in a choked voice, actually. So you can see that. So we miss you, Srila Prabhupada. Most of your disciples are presently in their 60s and 70 years of age. Many have passed, and the rest are facing imminent death. The time is here for us to become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness and render our final service to you on this earth prior to our demise. Only by your mercy and benediction can we return back home, back to Godhead. We miss you, Srila Prabhupada. Our fervent desire is to emulate you and preach vigorously till our last dying breath, just as you have done. We're studying your books profusely and scrutinizingly in order to become fully conversant with your writings. We wish to hear all of your lectures, watch all of your videos, listen to all of your bhajans, view all of your photos, and partake of any bona fide biographical information which concerns you even remotely. Mother Mukhya was speaking about. So today, this glorious day of your disappearance, a sacred event, it is a blessed opportunity to glorify you, Srila Prabhupada. To glorify you is the perfection of yoga that can successfully unite all your disciples, grand disciples, and sincere followers to carry on your mission. We offer our ardent prayers to please forgive our shortcomings and accept our meager endeavors to serve you. We are your spiritual children, completely dependent upon your mercy, and we are lost in this material world without you, our spiritual Father. Please bestow upon us the shelter of your lotus feet and allow us, Srila Prabhupada, to blissfully live with you eternally. Yeah. Your aspiring disciple. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Jai Hare Krishna. Yes, you know, I always, when I write, you know, I make myself plural. Some, not to denigrate anyone who says I, but it's all devotees. We all have such heartfelt, similar affection for Prabhupada. And particularly as our godbrother, Dibhyanga was speaking, the devotees who actually endeavor and go out on the, this is a missionary movement. We go out and distribute Prabhupada's books. Someone close to me is always telling me, oh, you're thinking of making money. Many of us have made fair money in our lifetime. He says, but what you need to do is distribute books. And this is what Ladini Shakti tells me. Go distribute books redundantly. He says, oh, forget me. I'm thinking, oh, I'm retired now. Money's not sufficient. Need to get a job. He says, no, no. Go distribute books, your Prabhupada's books. So that I like to simply recommend for everyone to, as Dibhyanga Prabhu pointed out, to keep some pamphlets, books, to shot them in your car, and everyone you speak to, remind, you know, preach to them. And I'll give one little incident, if that's okay, and I'll conclude, is that I'm at the Walmart with this other devotee. He's right there. Chaganamish. And this old guy, he says, hey, you got a cell phone? And I looked and I said, and you know, I'm a real gregarious kind of guy. And I said, okay, yeah, I got it for myself. So I give it to him. He says, well, I can't find mine. Can I call it? And so he starts to tinker with it, can't get it. So I said, well, sir, may I dial it for you? What's your number? And so I dial the number. So finally his phone rings in the car. He, you know, peruses through it and finds his phone. And then, you know, I had done him a favor. So what did I do? I said, he says, I don't know how to think. He said, hey, can you say Hare Krishna? And then the guy said, Hare Krishna. And that was it.
Mother Nagamanjari, Madame Mohan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Jai Prabhupada, Jai all the assembled devotees. Thank you. That's okay, a little down. I'm short. Jai Prabhupada, thank you for giving us this assembly of devotees to share our heartfelt feelings for you. And thank you for being my ever well-wisher, and the way I can repay you is by trying to be the well-wisher of others. If I had only 5 minutes to speak, which I do, to express and share what Srila Prabhupada has given me, okay, thank you. That's what I would like to share, what Prabhupada has given me in a few minutes. It's almost impossible, but I'll give a few points. The things I've learned from Srila Prabhupada is, of course, the love, his love for Krishna, his love for the world, his love to uplift everyone with the happiness of Krishna consciousness. And he told us that the Supreme Personality of Godhead only wants us to be happy. And he gave us the formula for achieving this. Chant and be happy. Simple. Along with all of the knowledge that we need in order to convince us to keep doing that. Chant and be happy. I learned that my words and my actions should always be love-driven instead of ego-driven, because when they're love-driven, then it only creates peace and no fear, and it actually encourages others. They see, oh, you're a happy person. How did you get this happiness? How did you get this fearlessness? And that encourages others to want to know more. So we share that goodness and happiness with others. When I live an ego-driven life, then I can see that it only causes confusion, fear, pain for myself and others. I would love to be able to encourage, especially the young people, the youth, the next generation, in this love-driven life, to always be thinking whatever we do, whatever action, whatever I speak, is it love-driven? And then my life will be happy, easy. Thank you, Prabhupada, for giving me this. I would like to be thankful to you for giving me the understanding to appreciate anyone's honest attempt to broadcast God consciousness in the world, because that is welcomed by all the previous Vaishnava acharyas. I was reading recently just Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his time. He said, we see the beginnings of the semblance of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement spreading in the West through the Salvation Army, who are going in the streets with drums and cymbals and singing the names of God. So that was in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, in the beginning of the Salvation Army in America. So he was accepting that as the beginnings of spreading the glories of the Lord's holy name in public. I am very grateful to you that I can feel you leading the torch with a torch of knowledge, leading the path of my life's journey. And I can feel the presence of the Lord with me because of He's with you. And I am so secure in this, and I am very grateful to you that I can live my life in this way. And the only way I can repay you is by trying to share this with others, share this mood of the torchlight of your knowledge and the presence of your Lord that's living with us in our hearts every moment and guiding us. And so in your mood, I wish to share this. You gave the great gift of Vedanta, the knowledge of the absolute truth. And as you say right in the introduction of the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, you say this Bhagavatam hits on the target of the absolute truth. And so you've hit on the target of the knowledge of the absolute truth, and you aimed it right at our hearts. This knowledge fortifies me with confidence, and because when the absolute truth, summum bonum of everything, God Almighty, the creator and owner and controller of everything, is my dear little friend, my happy little playful friend Krishna, how can I not be overwhelmed with joy at every moment? So thank you, Prabhupada, for giving me this hits on the target. Actually, there's an understanding that the word sin, I studied the word sin. What is sin? And it says sin is actually an old saying for marksmen who would, when they tried to hit the target, if they missed the target, that was a sin. So missing the target is sinful. And hitting the target, as Prabhupada gave us, is, I can't hit the target, but he's hit the target for us all. And I'm riding on that. Thank you, Prabhupada. So my gift back to him is to give this bhakti, love, and Vedanta, the knowledge that he lovingly imbibed in me, to share the essence of it, especially with the next generation, so that they can carry on the spiritualization of the world and the glory of, which is the glory of his mission. And in that light, I'd like to share something that I've been experiencing lately with the young devotees who are doing kirtan all over, especially in yoga studios. And other places. They go in many different big festivals and like that, and they're chanting the holy names. The Omega Institute in upstate New York is a very prestigious place for this, and only those who are very well known are singing up there in public. And I have to say that our devotee children, Gauravani, Vishambar, and others, they're up there on the stage almost the whole time, almost for everyone's performance, because everyone wants them to play the mridanga and be the backup singers and play their instruments. So they're up there almost the whole time, leading the way. And so now, even when some of these other kirtan people are asking the crowd, which mantra should I sing? Should I sing the Durga mantra, the Shiva mantra, the... And then everyone's yelling, Maha Mantra! Maha Mantra! This is crowds of thousands and hundreds of people. Maha Mantra! Okay, and so almost the Maha Mantra is going on almost through the whole thing. And everyone's dancing. It's very beautiful. So by Prabhupada's desire, the Maha Mantra is becoming a great household world. Word around the world. And so we thank Prabhupada for creating this assembly of devotees that enable us to share these wonderful things. Thank you, Prabhupada, and thank you, everyone. Hare Krishna.
Madame Mohan, followed by Mother Pashupati.
Namaon Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pratrani Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Paschitanasya. Sometimes I wonder what is mantras. You know, you hear about mantras. And what is the most powerful mantra? And for me, I don't understand so many things, so what I've noticed is that mantra I just said, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, because Prabhupada, just like we heard in a nice lecture yesterday on Vyasa Puja, you have to see the effect that something does, Palena Parachiyate. So from that mantra, I've noticed that everyone who chants that mantra, myself included, so many qualities change, so many things in their life change. In fact, everything in their life changes, at least for me. So that was my mantra. So I have one verse that I thought I don't usually have so much to say except verses or numbers of verses. So this verse is 5, 9, 27. 28. Let's see. That one looks better. This is Prahlad Maharaj. He's talking to Lord Nrisimhadev. And he says, my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I had gradually fallen into the blind well, full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant, Narada Muni, in my case, Srila Prabhupada, kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? So, I don't usually do much, but somehow or other, I've been developing, going with Keshava and Kaliapani and Sringa Thakur, now it's Sringa Thakur myself mostly, to the Radeford prison, which is just about half an hour from here, and it's about 2,000 people, 200 of them on death row. And we've been doing that now for about 4 years, and some of the results are quite interesting. In reading the Bhagavatam, fifth canto, it talks about penance a lot, and it says voluntarily or involuntarily one should do penance. So they're all engaged in involuntary penance, but it makes it a very ripe place for them to hear. And in fact, there is a connection between penance and penitentiary, a place to do penance. So it's, in fact, they generally refer to it as the pen, this, the big house. So as we, it's about, you go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 checkpoints to get into the place that we go, each of them with, that you, no two doors can open at the same time. So you go into one lock, you have to go through the metal detectors and you empty your pockets, and then that door shuts, then the door on the other side can open and you can go through. So when we get through there, presently now everybody says, but when we get to where we're going, they have to announce that we're there. So they announce, Hare Krishna is here. So it goes over all the PA systems for 2,000 people to hear. And so they say, oh, Hare Krishna. So as we walk, everybody in the prisons, they have painted lines on all the paths that they have to take, and they have to stay right on these yellow lines. They can't go off the line. And as we can go off the line, they can't go. So as we're going there, they all say, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So now they're very friendly, and I've come to the conclusion that because they're restricted so much, a lot of times I'll give compliments to our group, how that they're so gentlemanly and everybody is so friendly and gentlemanly there. How come? And they say, it's because we're under such strict regulations. If those regulations broke down even for a minute, there would be chaos here. So there's something about Kali Yuga, they're breaking down the regulations, so everything's going crazy. But these little oases of people performing penance is very nice, and we're having a nice group that are very sincere because they need the effect. Sometimes we have a problem with happiness or easygoing life. Prabhupada one time mentioned, or actually a couple of times he mentioned, easygoing life and Krishna consciousness go. Everybody knows that. Okay, so they don't have that problem. They don't have an easygoing life. They're more or less harassed all the time. We may also be harassed by the different threefold miseries, but it's very pronounced there. So they're taking great shelter, and of course, you may have heard that Yadavar gave permission, so we're going to be showing the movie there. We got permission from the chapel, which was the chaplain. And they have a room as maybe bigger than this, which is their main church that they said they'll give to us to show your documentary. And without me asking, the chaplain also mentioned that they're going to connect it to the death row. They all have televisions in their little cells. So everybody, before they check out, they'll be able to see your documentary on that Yadavar has done. That's very nice. So I thank you all very much. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Some of the Pashupati and then Adidev for them.
Hare Krishna. In the 1980s, my husband and I lived in New York. We were associated with the Brooklyn Temple at the time, and we had an opportunity to serve one of Srila Prabhupada's contemporaries and friends. Vishwambar Goswami from the Radharaman Temple happened to be in New York City, and my husband got the great good fortune of taking him around to the Lower East Side, to all the special places where Prabhupada had lived or done preaching. And it was quite amazing because he was very impressed. And he came back to the house where we were living at the time, and I was very intimidated because, first of all, it was a codicil. I'm a Westerner, and he's with the Goswami caste, so I thought he's never going to eat anything I cook because some of them observe things very strictly. And again, because it was a codicil, that was even more difficult because back then we weren't eating quinoa and we didn't have a lot of the other codicil preps. And I wasn't expert at anything Indian. So my husband brought him to our home after they did the tour. And he came in and I served him prasadam. And I remember making okra and curd. And he was delighted, and he ate very enthusiastically, and I was so happy because he spoke on a few occasions. There were some interviews, and also I know for a fact that he considered Srila Prabhupada to be his good friend. He was once the mayor of Vrindavan, and he also mentions a kind of a pastime leela that he and Srila Prabhupada shared, where he would be in his home and Srila Prabhupada would be riding to the market or someplace. And when he would pass by Vishwambar Mar Goswami's house, Srila Prabhupada would ring his bicycle horn and Goswami would come to the window and wave at Srila Prabhupada, or I guess they would have some exchanges. So there was quite a friendship there. So I could see that in a way he's like Vrindavan royalty. What to speak of the fact that he's a bridge bossy, which is pretty amazing. So there he is in my Brooklyn apartment eating a codicil prasadam, and I was so nervous. And the fact that he was so pleased, and so I asked him about his tour, and he said, it was wonderful. And he said, all of us in Vrindavan know how wonderful Srila Prabhupada is and all of his accomplishments. But he said, unless they come and see where he preached on the Lower East Side, they have no idea how amazing Srila Prabhupada is. And so that was the icing on the cake. I was so happy because he really loved Srila Prabhupada and he glorified him. So that was very special. And in the future, I remember my husband said that often when they would see each other, he said to my husband on a few occasions, your wife saved my life when I was in America and she cooked for me. So he was very humble and sweet. Thank you.
So Adidev Prabhu and then another Ladini Shakti.
Mom, Vishnu Padai, Krishna Prasai, Bhutale, Shimati, Bhakti Ganata Swam, Namam, Stig. Sarasati Devi, Gauravani, I just want to tell, I don't think I've told this remembrance, but it had a big effect upon me. And what little personal association I had with Srila Prabhupada, this was very intimate and very focused. And really helped me grow in Krishna consciousness. Back in 1973, I was in Los Angeles, and I was with a devotee that joined with me. He was my art professor before. And we were asked to go to Vrindavan. Well, we were asked to go to Mayapur, actually. and learn the dying art of putul, which is clay doll making. And we thought, dolls, well, this is interesting. Both of us had next to no education or skills in figurative sculpture because it was the 1960s and everybody was making big abstract things. So that's what we did. But this was very, when we got to Mayapur, Prabhupada had hired a young man to teach us, and there was other people that came into the picture, students. And it was very disciplined. He would come every other day. He spoke no English. We spoke no Bengali. It was a totally visual education. But he was crackerjack. He was very good, high quality. And so he trained us. We worked there for months. And then Prabhupada came, I guess it was Gaur Purnima, 1974, and we put on a small display of our efforts, and Prabhupada said, not good enough, get another teacher, you know. And so we did, hired another man, and learned a little bit more. We felt sort of kind of proficient. We had no idea what Prabhupada had in mind for us to, you know, send us halfway around the world and learn this art, this dying art of putul. But a few of us from that point, Guru Das came to Mayapur. The Vrindavan temple was under construction, Krishna Balaram. And he invited us, this was Bhardraj, Rukmini, myself, a devotee named Saptaratha, who's been walking around chanting japa here this morning, visiting us, invited us to come to Vrindavan and create some dolls that would be placed on the altar. It was the 8 chief gopis, right? About this tall. And so we got to Vrindavan, and the scene was a construction site. I mean, it was just lots and lots of construction going on, builders, ladders, paint, cement, bricks, stucco, steels. And we resided in these little tiny huts. Bhardwaj and I shared a hut. And this hut was about as big as, you know, maybe 8 of these squares here, you know, with 2 beds, 2 cots, right? And, you know, space between the cots about yay. And so we were there, we were working. Prabhupada would come after our morning class, and he would kind of critique our work. And he was very encouraging. He was always very encouraging. And so a little time went by, and of course, Prabhupada did confirm with Guru Das that it was a bad idea to have unfired clay as a permanent, you know, deity on the altars. That was not going to work. The fingers would break when they dressed them, and you can't bathe them, and, you know, it's just not a good idea. But he did like the idea of having some decorative figures, you know, in and around the temple. Okay, so a little time goes by. Srila Prabhupada got very sick. And he was in his rooms. We had a 24-hour cure time. After about a week and a half, he got better and went out for his first morning walk. Well, by that time, we had finished these pieces. He hadn't seen the finished product. But also by that time, my friend and visionary Bhardwaj Das had caught malaria. And so he was, I don't know how many devotees in this room have ever had malaria, but you're kind of up one minute and down the next, you know. And when you're down, you're like shaking and high fevers, you ache all over, it's no fun. I got it later, so I know. Anyway, so Bhardwaj is up and down, even at the very, you know, doing the final detailing, which was Bhardwaj's expertise, he would get up, he would paint, he would, you know, sort of finish off these gopis and then collapse in this cot next to me. Prabhupada came back from his room, as Prabhupada came back from his morning walk, we had taken all the dolls over into his room, so this would be the first thing he saw when he came in. And so then, of course, it would be nice if Bhargarsh and I were both there together to greet him, but as malaria ensued, Bhargarsh was flat in his cot in this little hut. And I wasn't going to stand there by myself. I wanted Bhargarsh, my buddy, with me. And so I'm sitting in one cot, Bhargarsh laid out in the other cot, and Sri Dakirti is coming to our door asking, "Can you come and see Prabhupada? Prabhupada just loves what you've done. Come see, come see." Bhargarsh, come on, come on, come on. And he's just, you know, in shaking mode. Jamuna comes in, and she's saying, Prabhupada's so thrilled. He's like pointing at the different gopis, and he's naming them, and then he's pointing at us, and he's laughing. And so anyway, after about 10 minutes, Sri Dakirti comes to the front door and announces, "Srila Prabhupada's come to see you." So Prabhupada, you know, Bhargarsh gets up, he comes over, sits in my cot. Prabhupada is right here in Bhargarsh's cot and speaks with us for about, seemed like a lifetime, but it's probably only about 30 minutes. But my takeaway from that was his mercy upon us to give us some responsibility, some service to do in pushing on his movement, but his desire and vision for cultural weapons, dance, theater, painting, sculpture, temples, to go on, to be spread, and that this would create in us, yes, we would be promoting, but we'd also be attracting, you know, that so many people would be attracted to this beautiful movement of song and dance and wonderful food and theater and sculptures and dioramas and paintings. And we see around us, within these walls, some of it, but Prabhupada's vision was much bigger than that. He wanted it everywhere. And I'm so thrilled now to see devotees like Indradyumna Maharaj carrying on that torch of cultural presentation. You know, he just finished doing this tour in the United States. And it'll continue to expand. And but I had a taste of that, just a small spark of Prabhupada's vision in that hut in Vrindavan. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.